Well, we're continuing our journey. And the Lord is on his way to Jerusalem. That's why I used all the Jewish songs today, because Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. According to what I understand, it seems like this is the second Passover that he's going to be at. Or maybe the third, because he was at one when he was 12. So anyway, it's in the middle. It isn't the end yet. But he is still heading to Jerusalem. And he's been warned that they're laying for him. They're ready to kill him if they get an opportunity. And they certainly were trying to find out if he is speaking against their belief. The problem is their belief was twisted. Just like today, we were talking this morning, Jenna and Gib, later, that our government situation is tragic today. And now they're trying to kill Trump. They're trying to kill Vance. They've already killed Charlie. They want to silence truth. That's their whole purpose. And you better believe that it's the enemy that's doing that. It's Satan. And he's inspiring these people. And all they're speaking is rhetoric. News is not on TV anymore. There is no news. It's all rhetoric. It's all opinions. Even the people at Fox get sidetracked nowadays. You've got people that were good on Fox, and all of a sudden they go their own way, and they become derelicts on the road of evil. So you got to be careful, and you got to trust what the Word says. The Word is trust. So anyway, remember the foundations. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now, that's the bottom line, isn't it? It's what Jesus said. And it's true. And the thing that we must always understand, that whatever Jesus says is true. And no matter how even church people try to twist what he said and make it a cultural thing above the scripture. In fact, I've heard some lines on that, that people want that culture overrides scripture. And that is an absolute lie from the devil. And Jesus said, he's a father of evil, father of lies. And then he also said that his Father's will was that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last days. And the Jewish people at that time, the leaders at least, the religious leaders, didn't get it. They did not understand. So back into Luke 13, a review a little bit. He said, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. Now that was an illustration they would know. They were farmers. They liked to plant things. And if you get any of the Jewish newsletters on your emails, they're asking for us to help plant trees and stuff like that in Jerusalem. By the way, if you have a couple of hundred or a couple of thousand dollars, you can take a lottery and maybe win an apartment in Jerusalem. And never mind, I'm not going to do that. And gambling is not a good thing for Christians, you know. And a lot of people have gotten into trouble and destroyed their family and lives by gambling. So anyway, the mustard seed. And all of us know how small the mustard seed is. And yet it grows to become a mighty tree. Yeast, and we talked about that last week also. The ladies know all about yeast. What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through. Any of you have 60 pounds of flour in your house? 25 probably at the most. But yeast permeates. And that's what his message was, that the kingdom will permeate. And if you look at it, it has permeated all over the world, has it not? The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And no matter what the pundits are trying to say, Trump is not trying to be a king. They know how to twist everything and make it common knowledge. And then the news media reports that there were millions of people out on the streets protesting. And then they showed the video from, what, 6 or 7 years ago of people at another protest. Wasn't even about this. And I think it was MSNBC had to retract that. Well, they didn't really do it, retract it well. They said, oh, made a mistake. That's the way it is today. So let's look at continuation of 13 about doors. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Remember, he's on his way. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? That was a question. They were concerned. And so Jesus said this, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. He's giving an illustration here. It's a parable. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly truth. And he is saying, hey, think about the narrow world. Answering the question, will only a few get in? Well, there's a door. And in John, he says that that door is the door to the sheepfold, remember? And the shepherd knows who can enter that door. And he says in John, remember that anyone that tries to climb over the wall or come in any other way will not make it. So here, this man is standing at the door wanting help. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. On Wednesday, as we've been looking at Ezekiel, there's a passage there that talks about people from all over the world becoming part of God's kingdom. And we understand that, people from all over the world, and that's happening today. And that's the mustard seed faith and the yeast faith. And that's happening all over the world. And there are countries that are really persecuting and killing Christians. And Ethiopia. And Jan was there, and Trump was... Pardon?
Nigeria.
Nigeria, yeah, that's what I meant, Nigeria. And Trump was maybe even considering sending troops over there to help the Christians. There's already been a bunch of bills that go to the UN from different sources like the ACLJ and others that have been trying to fight for Nigeria for years here. But 50 people a day, I think it's about, that are being killed. And that's the mourners. But people who try to get in another way, they can't make it. And I remember Jesus said in John, the shepherd knows who can enter. He will open the door for them. But they can't turn him in any other way. And doesn't do any good to be in church. That's not what's going to cut it. But Lord, I go to church every Sunday. What about the rest of the week? How do you live? And the door will be closed for evildoers. And he said this in 29:30. He said, people will come from all over the world, east and west, north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this. Some who seem least important now will be the greatest. Be the greatest then. And some who are the greatest now will be the least important them. And you know, I think it's tragic. I sometimes even still pray for the previous president. He's absolutely worthless. Was worthless as a president. But he still needs to know Jesus. And there are people on the evil side of the government. And evil side doesn't mean they're right or left. It just means that they're sitting there being evil. They're not going to make it unless they know Jesus. It's a tragic thing. But notice that he says people will come from the east and west and all over the world. And that's certainly happening. And this is the truth of what he was giving by the illustration of the mustard seed and yeast. The truth. People all over the world.
Well, he said, and that's where Muslims get their thing, that, well, he just came for the Jews, but we're here, we came later for everybody. And I'm going, no, Jesus flat out said he had to go to the Jews first, but after they rejected him, he's for the whole world. He had to bring it there because that was the promise, that he was the Messiah, and they had to reject him so that he could go on for the rest of the world as a Messiah.
Yeah.
And that was the promise that God had made. So he fulfilled the promise, and then he made it to us.
And that was a promise given to Abraham to begin with, that he would bless the whole world through his seed, through Isaac and Jacob. When the Jews say they want people to sit in the kingdom with the throne with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and others are there and they're not, pretty sad commentary, isn't it? And it was all because Jesus said, I am the Son of God. And they accused him of making himself equal with God. Well, he was. They didn't realize their accusation was the truth. So they were trying to kill God, if you put it in a nutshell. They were trying to kill God. Church has been trying to do that for decades also, trying to kill God. So anyway, there's a lot of rhetoric that has been over the last number of years and decades. But then notice, continues on. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, go tell that fox. I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal. That sound like Charlie Kirk? You know, if you know his story, he wasn't trying to worry about what people were trying to do for him. He was going to continue on his ministry. Fortunately, our president's doing the same thing, but people are still trying to kill him. He said, in any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day. For surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. That's an interesting phrase that he was talking. Remember, we're talking on the way to Jerusalem. His next visit, at least the last visit to Jerusalem, was going to be his death. He continued to accuse the Pharisees, the priests, and the Sadducees about their evil behavior, twisting the word of God to make their own benefits. No prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. He knew that. And he knew the history. And remember, he told the leaders, you're a bunch of hypocrites. Remember he said that earlier? You're hypocrites. You say, oh, we've had all the prophets. We build tombs for them. We are honoring all of them. Never mind, they also killed all of them before. The previous generation killed them all and hated the prophets. Message, if their message did not agree with what they wanted. So then they built tombs for them and says, okay, yeah, we're the good guys now. We built their tombs. And Jesus said, remember on another occasion, yeah, you built the tombs. Outside they look good, but inside they're just dead men's bones. He said, that's what you guys are. You make the outside look good, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. On my iPad, I like to do jigsaw puzzles. It's one of my favorite relaxing times. I enjoy doing that. It's easier than having a big table. You can have numerous pieces in there and then try to put them together and put one of Jesus in two little kids holding him, and I thought, what a beautiful picture of who Jesus is. He loves kids. He told his disciples also, don't forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Children are our blessing, are they not? So that's a good thing, and hopefully the children will become believers and follow the Lord, and that's the goal of each of our families, at least. And so anyway, he was saying, I'm going to die in Jerusalem. And you religious leaders are just like those sepulchers. Try to make yourself pretty on the outside, but inside you're just full of dead men's bones. Anyway, back on my rabbit trail when I was talking about jigsaw puzzles, they keep coming up with ads. I can get into it, but every once in a while when I have to restart it, all these ads come up, and half of them are about trying to make yourself beautiful. So they get all this stuff that they want you to buy that are supposed to, for the ladies, take away all their wrinkles and take away all their things that they don't like about themselves. I thought, man, just money makers. And I'm sure that if women got it, it wasn't going to work for them. People want to make money off of you. So anyway, and then he said this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now that's quite an indictment, isn't it? You'll not see me again after you kill me as one of your prophets until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Well, it could also be that this isn't his third time into Jerusalem. And when he came the last time, they were singing Hosanna and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, it can be.
Could be referring to that too.
That
yeah.
Also, I mean, you know, it telescopes down. I saw that and I thought, oh, well, he didn't go back to Jerusalem until it was the end for him on earth. And maybe that's part of it too. He's saying that and maybe some of them will remember that.
Yeah. And it even happened when he spent his 40 days here after his resurrection, right? And even today, there are a number of people in Jerusalem and in Israel that are believers now. And they recognize him as Yeshua, their Messiah. And they recognize that. So we have to just understand that Jesus will come into anyone who believes who he is. And he will give them a seat, in spite of what the Jews say, at the thrones and at the family gathering of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what they believe is the final resting place for everyone. The home of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus is at the head of the table, however. And what a marvelous truth we have, don't we? I hear words from different people that are living in Israel now, write books about it. One of the things that said in the preface of a book I was reading was he was so thankful that he and his wife were now living in Jerusalem. He felt so good about that. A dual citizenship, U.S. and Israeli. And he was so thankful that he and his wife and family were now living in Jerusalem. And I can imagine what a joy that would be, because you know that that was the city that Jesus walked in. And you know he's going to come back and restore that city. No matter what church people say, there's an awful lot of church people who say Israel has no future bearing after the resurrection of Jesus. I challenge that. Even good people that we know believe that. And that's too bad. We still have a sign in our yard. It hasn't been sabotaged yet. Said this family believes in Israel. I've been waiting for someone to spray paint it. If they do, we're in trouble. The neighborhood, I don't think it'll happen at University Place, but if it does, we'll stand guard with our shotguns and our rifles and our pistols. But we'll not have to do that. No, that's not going to be done. But we do believe in Israel, and we want to support it. And as you were saying earlier, Gab, the countries that applaud Israel survive. Those that don't die.
Well, it's interesting that people say that Israel will have no more part. But what did God say and what did Jesus say later to tell them? Yes, they're part and they're the ones that I have to come to first because that's the promise.
Yeah.
And they will be there. So if Jesus said it and God said it, both of them said it, and you don't believe it, what do you believe?
Then you're throwing out the Bible.
That's right. You're not believing what God said. And his word is final.
And that's the problem. And I don't think people, even in churches that think about replacement theology, understand that. Because basically what they're doing is throwing the Bible away, and they're throwing God's promises away, and they're throwing Jesus' promises away. And so basically they're saying, we don't believe him. They don't realize the bottom line of how far that idea goes. It's a deadly idea.
Another scary thing is the Bible says, I will bless those that bless you and curse those who curse you.
Yes.
I mean, that in a sense is a cursing. But think of all the anti-Semitics out there just boldly hating you. What do you think is going to happen to them? God's promises don't stop.
You'll not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you're right, they did that at Jerusalem. So this is still about Jerusalem, isn't it? On the way to Jerusalem, whether it's earlier or later, it's on the way to Jerusalem. Very important. Scripture says that he's going to come back and set his feet on Jerusalem. We look at, this is the final coming to Jerusalem in Revelation. Remember, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. And he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. That has been a key verse for me. And over the years, I've used Revelation in the church a dozen times. When we were in the Alliance, I used a Sunday school class and taught this. I even used it in church services. I've used it in every church that I've ever been in, because this is a promise that I believe. And so, sad to be at a church that doesn't teach Revelation. And then he said in verse 7 of 1, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes. Amen. You see what it is saying there? What Jesus was saying to those when he entered Jerusalem earlier, you're going to find your comeuppance. You're going to find that if you forget about me, you're not going to survive. So Jerusalem. And then in verse 8, he said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and is still to come, the Almighty One. Now notice this is at the beginning of the Revelation, the one who is still to come. When that revelation was given, the world was still waiting for his coming. You read a little bit further on in Revelation, and this is one of the things that I point out every so often. You read some of the plagues and the things that happen, and he's still talking about yet to come. But towards the end, he says, I am the one who was and is, because he had already come in the revelation. So anyway, we're at the closing song that we've used for weeks. It's called the Revelation Song, and it fits with what we're ending here. Just a comment before a closing prayer. One of the things that I enjoy with that particular video, you ever watch that piano player? If we ever see this again, watch the piano player. He is so into it. He's dancing all over in front of that piano. And that's one of the things that I've noticed whenever I've watched this. He really is into it, and he jerks his head and his hands, and I don't know how he even touches the keyboard with the way he jerks around. But anyway, that's one of the things that I enjoyed. Plus, you know, this said, Jesus who was and is to come. And that's where we're left. Probably not see this song again at the end for a while, but remember that. If you ever see it again, you might see it in the middle somewhere. And anyway, that's my prayer. I want to give glory to him. Let's pray. Father, that's the goal of my heart. I want to be able to bring joy and glory to you. Help me to praise you. You are worthy of my praise more than I can possibly give. So help me to learn to do that. Help me learn to show your love in my life by the things I do and say and think. Help me to do better about that each day. So bring glory to you. Thank you for your goodness and for your rest, love for us. Now walk with us, and we'll thank you that we can join you at your mercy seat. Amen.